quickly here, but it would take time. Intelligently is through correct phrasing, through shading with your voice. Remember, you are speaking by means of media. People cannot see you. They have to depend on your emphasis. And your emphasis, you're watching me right now, so you can see that I am using my hands. Well, if I had my hands under the table, you depend on my voice. Am I speaking in a monotone? If I am, then I need help. And
Maybe I'm missing something here, but if the text is prepared, how can you correct the phrasing?
Very easily. This is why writing is noted on there.
Oh, I see.
You do not destroy the meaning of the text in any way.
I see. So you teach them to rewrite the text so that it's more intelligent.
Not intelligent, no.
Okay. Or intelligible.
I expect maybe that's a better term. But really, so that it has all of the content, you're leaving nothing out of the content, but you're not speaking in a monotone. You're speaking so that the people listening to you hear a conversational tone in your voice which immediately empathizes with their needs, even though their need may be quite individual, and thousands of others are listening, hearing the same tape, but exactly what I'm listening for may not be exactly what you're listening for, but when I hear it, it's there, you see. Now, when you are rephrasing, you're putting it into a style that is better suited to your own means of speaking with the media or through the media than if I were just sitting here reading word for word something that someone else has written. Now, this isn't always true at all, but when a person has trouble speaking out loud, when a person has trouble the minute a little red light goes on, when a person has trouble relating to an unseen audience, then if he can have material which he himself has structured without destroying the meaning of the original printout, it's very much easier for him to read, you see.
Okay. Well, I want to get back to this use of the term intelligent again. Was that a correct word to use there, or was it intelligible that it would be a...
Suppose you go back and use it for me.
Okay, you earlier mentioned that you teach, one of your objectives was to teach the employees to read more intelligently. Okay, now, and then I mentioned the word intelligibly. So I'm just trying to find out which word is the proper word that you would use there.
Suppose I restructure then what I said, if it will be of help to you. It isn't read more intelligently, but when you read something, one of the main purposes that I used in helping the men overcome whatever their specific needs were was to help them write so that what they read over the air was completely understandable to the listening audience. In that way, you can take out whatever the misuse of the word intelligent or intelligible was. Understandable, then. I'll have to replace that.
Okay, all right.
Excuse me?
Am I speaking loudly enough for
you? You're speaking loudly, I'm not. I'll have to try to speak up. Maybe you can coach me as we go along if I'm mumbling.
You don't need that.
Okay. Let me just we're back on the record, right? Okay. Let me just recover some ground. I just want to make it clear, or have it clear on the record. In terms of the PhD work that we discussed, okay. Would that be the extent, other than those courses that you took, the 21 credits and the research that you did, would that be the extent of your research under the PhD, or your work under the PhD program?
What more have I left out?
Well, what I wanted to just get clear was whether you had written any published any articles or
nothing in the field of speech, no.
Okay.
My avocation is creative writing. Yes, I have published.
Okay. And, oh, this would have been more creative type things, apart from the degree program?
Yes.
Okay. And, like, have you ever had any research grants or anything like that?
No, I have not.
Okay. And have you ever done any kind of studies, empirical studies?
No, I have not.
Right. Now, what other type of work experience do you have also, aside from what we've just discussed, you know, the speech, work in speech?
I have not worked. Is that what you mean, teaching? No, teaching is my only experience.
Okay, all right. So prior to getting into teaching, you were, what, a housewife? Or?
No, I was not a housewife. I was a public speaker. I was a military wife for some 25 years. Mm-hmm. I have done the same work in my non-teaching years that I've done since I have retired as well.
Okay.
I have had television experience. I have had radio experience. Have I covered what you would like to ask?
Have you ever trained, let's see, any television personalities?
No, I have not.
Okay. By the way, I think you mentioned earlier that you consider yourself to be an expert, I believe, in a particular area. Can you describe for us what that is, if I heard correctly?
Well, I consider that I'm an expert in helping people overcome communications problems, both in writing and in speaking.
Okay. Is there any particular kind of academic discipline that would fall into? I mean, like speech or linguistics or?
Not linguistics,
okay,
no.
I'm just wondering, I'm just trying to get a better description of your area of expertise.
I believe you have my... It's a very brief vitae in front of you. You will notice that I have a writing clinic noted on there, which I
Okay, is this what you're referring to?
Yes.
Why don't we make this exhibit number 2, and we'll make the instructions to deponent in exhibit number 1. Okay. We'll make this vitae exhibit number 2. Okay. Well, let me ask you, does any school give a degree in the kind of in the area that you are an expert in, as far as you know?
Well, I've never even investigated. I don't know. No.
Maybe another way to approach the work that you're asked to do by the Weather Service is to show you these various letters that we were provided by the Weather
mm-hmm.
Service. Okay,
mm-hmm.
there are five letters here, which I'd like you to review and.
Are you marking the exhibits?
Okay, let's mark them as 3, A, B, C, D, etc. All right.
I
guess that would go up to F.
Telling.
That would go up to A, B, C, D, E, F. Right. No. Don't do any corrections. What I'm just trying to establish right now is, essentially, what I'm just trying to establish is. The kind of work that you were asked to do and
yes.
did for the Weather Service.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into those other things later.
Yes.
Represent those letters, all the work that you've done, let's say, for this case.
Yes. All for this?
Oh, well, let me revise that. Let's confine ourselves to Exhibit 3, A through D, and let me ask you if that represents all the work that you did for the Weather Service. Or was there additional work that you did?
No, this is it, right here.
Okay. And then this, exhibit number 4, does that represent all the work that you did for Mr. Chun for this case?
Yes.
Okay. Did you do any other work for him?
What kind of work would that be?
I don't know. Anything else to do with this case?
No, that's it.
Okay. By the way, I just wanted to get clear what Mr. Chun's role is in. Are you her counsel in this, in the depot?
Yeah.
You are? Okay.
She's my expert.
Okay.
And she's not a fact witness, so she doesn't have a counsel as such.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. She's not a fact witness?
She's not a fact witness.
So she wouldn't what? Couldn't hear you.
She would. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be her counsel as such.
Okay. Alright. So, I don't recall what you said. I missed what you said earlier. Did you do any further work for Mr. Chun besides what's represented in that letter?
No.
Okay. you've talked to Mr. Chun about this case, though, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What did you talk to him about?
The case in general.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He must have told you what his theories are in this case, isn't that correct?
No, I'm afraid he didn't.
He didn't?
I've never been in this position before.
Okay, well, what?
So I don't know whether I've asked questions about it. I don't know what you're looking for. What do you want
Okay, I'm just trying to find out what you discussed with him. You said the case in general, but what about, can you be more specific than that?
Yes, why am I being questioned, and what is my role in this, and things of that.
Okay, well, why did he tell, what did he tell you about why you're being questioned?
I guess because I have played a part in assessing the backgrounds of the men concerned in the case,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
And did he talk to you about, what position the Weather Service is taking in this case?
The Weather Service?
Yes. His client, the Weather Service.
Oh, what position? Please explain position to me.
Well, in other words, what is their legal position? Did he talk to you about their legal position in this case?
Not that I know of. I'm afraid I'm very inferior as far as knowing what we're talking about right now is concerned. I don't mean inferior. I'm
uninformed. Oh, I see. So he didn't give you, did he give you any background to this case at all?
Please describe background as to
any general information about, what this case is all about?
Well, yes. The case is, from my point of view, is being brought by two or three men. I don't know the men. Please know that I have never met any of the men.
Mm-hmm.
And they are being, they're bringing suit because I think they feel that they're discriminated against, but that's the full extent of my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just not a part of my. As far as I'm concerned, I'm outside the case. I was hired as a consultant. I have assessed their back, not these. Yes, here. I was hired. Now, what I'm looking for, I'm sorry to have to stop midway here.
Oh, that's all right.
But I hadn't realized you had taken the names, or the names have been deleted from these, so.
Well, from some of the letters.
The earlier letters have nothing whatever to do with the case that I am faced with right here, with Mr. Kahakua's name.
just for record, she's referring to Exhibit 3C.
Yes. So 3A and 3B have no bearing on why I am being questioned here today.
Okay, well, we'll get to that, but let me ask you this. Mr. Chen has talked to you about using you as a witness in,
yes,
at the trial.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And did he tell you, or what did he tell you about what you're going to testify to? Or what he wants you to testify to?
Well, I don't know what he wants me to testify to, nor whether he even mentioned that. But I asked him why I am being used, and he said because I have assessed the backgrounds of the men, I have critiqued them very, very carefully, and I have ranked them. That's what I was hired to do, and that's what I did.
Okay. Let me ask you, going back again to, you know, earlier we were talking about the people speaking pidgin and developing speech patterns at an early age, or at least there may be some studies that show that. Do you feel that you speak with any kind of an accent?
Of course, I come from the South.
All right, so you have a, would you say you have a Southern accent?
Perhaps you would say that.
Okay.
What
do you say?
Well, if you were to go down into the South and listen to Southerners who have never left the South, you would think that I have a very slight tinge of the South in my voice.
Okay.
I do not have a dialect.
Would you say you speak standard English?
Oh, indeed I do.
Okay. And would you say that you are speech would be proper for making weather service tapes in Hawaii?
That would be up to the weather service. I don't know.
Well, in your opinion?
Yes, I could give weather tapes.
So you feel that you would be acceptable here for giving making weather service tapes?
Mr. Park, when I am in a professional capacity, and I don't think that I am this morning, at least I was told that I'm not, you intimated that this would be a friendly discussion, so to speak. But if I were making a tape for the weather service, I would have a very sharp voice. I would see to it that everybody listening to me, well, see to it, that's not a very good choice of words. I would attempt to be very certain that every word that I said was easily understood, that I did not reflect that I am from the South, and let me give you an example of coming from the South, which I can do very easily because this is the way that I would talk in the evening when I'm tired. I would certainly drop my I and G's, and I would not put E-R's on words. And this is not a put-on Southern accent. This is just a normal way to talk when I am not speaking correctly, which when I'm in a classroom, I speak correctly.
Well, how are you speaking now? Are you speaking correctly now?
I certainly feel that I can easily say that I am not speaking with the Southern accent which I have just left a moment ago. But I have not proposed that I would be hired by a weather bureau. I've not proposed that I would be hired by anybody. But you ask me if I speak good English, and I do. And then you said, well, could you be a weather reporter? And I've said, I could be. I did not say that I want to be, nor that I am.
Okay, let me correct one thing. I don't think I ever mentioned use of good English. I'm talking about standard
English. Standard English, okay, is good English, Mr. Park.
Well, okay, so when you use the term good standard English, actually, then you mean the use of the word good, then. I mean, that's almost redundant because standard
is
good.
It?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. What is bad standard English?
Bad standard English is when you insert subnormal pronunciations, subnormal terminology, perhaps. lack of good grammar.
Well, let me get back again to one other thing. Do you feel that, aside from the time that you intentionally or purposefully lapsed into a very strong Southern accent, do you feel that you've been speaking standard English or good standard English by your definition throughout this entire deposition up to this point?
Are we speaking of, was I speaking with a Southern accent, not a Southern drawl? There's a big difference between a Southern drawl. I had shown you an example of that just prior to this.
Okay. So would it be fair to say then you were speaking with a Southern accent throughout this whole deposition?
Probably. You would think that, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you able to drop that?
Indeed I am.
That completely? I mean that accent?
You mean erase it?
Yes.
Is that what you...
Speak without an accent.
I can speak without an accent. If it has to be without an accent, let's say in a dramatic role. But I don't propose that speaking with an accent means that I am speaking with anything other than standard English.
Okay. Let me ask you, could you just read the instructions to the opponent for me right now and try, I want you to try to do it without an accent, to just speak with standard English or good standard English, whatever, however you use that term. Could you do that for me, please?
Mm-hmm.
And then you mean I need to read the whole thing, just try and read it through.
The reason you are here is to have your deposition taken. The purpose of a deposition is not to trick you in any way into saying something you do not intend or mean, but to find out what you know about the matter stated in the subpoena served on you and or the notice served on your attorney. Shall I continue?
We need more than that. Okay.
In other words, I'm reading that for the satisfaction of the linguist. Is that correct?
Well, actually, for my satisfaction.
But with her approval.
Well, we just wanted to obtain
yes,
a sample of your speech.
Yes, I understand perfectly.
Okay. Can I have that pencil, please?
Sure.
Okay, just so that we're getting this clear on the record again, those exhibits 3, A through D that you have before you again, that does constitute or represent all the work you did for the Weather Service?
As far as I know, it is.
All right. How did you get this job, by the way, of working for the Weather Service?
I was recommended by the speech therapy department, who have sent many people to me.
And this is at the University of Hawaii?
Yes, it is.
And was there any particular person in the
yes,
speech
Dorothy
therapy?
Yes, Dorothy Craven.
Okay. Do you know if she has done any work for the Weather Service?
No. Yes, she has. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what
yes.
kind of work?
I believe the men who came to me had been interviewed and tested through the therapy, the speech and hearing therapy department. This is in Burns College of Medicine at the university, and I feel sure there must be written reports giving her background on each of the men. And from that point, they were referred to me because I think they, whatever her reports were, noted that they did not have needs through their department, but could be helped through the work that I do.
Did you ever discuss the work with Ms. Craven, Dorothy Craven, any of the work that she did?
I know Mrs. Craven very well. I know the work that she does, yes.
Okay, and can you just describe generally what she did for the website?
No, I really cannot.
Okay. Did she ever discuss that with you?
If so, it's been so long ago, I don't remember.
Okay.
I think you have an appointment with her.
Well,
in the next few days, I'm sure she can fill you in on that. No, I really do not.
If I told you that she tested various Weather Service employees for speech defects or impediments.
Yes, yes, this I know.
Does that refresh your memory?
Yes, this I know.
Oh, okay.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And do you know what the findings were?
I really do not know.
Okay, now, who contacted you initially to do this work from the Weather Service?
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Hagemeyer. Mm-hmm. And do you remember about when that was? I don't know if this will help you, but your initial letter was dated December 12th, 1984.
Yes, I'm looking
Excuse
at that,
me,
too.
Can you wait till he finishes talking? It's dated what?
December 12th, 1984.
It would have been in the spring of that year.
Okay. And do you remember what he asked you to do?
Basically, it was to work with one or more, I don't remember whether a number was mentioned, of the men in weather reporting who needed to have some communication skills upgraded.
And you complied with the request?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you do generally?
I believe I went over that with you just a little bit ago.
Okay. Well, I'm talking specifically about the first time around here with that resulted, I assume, in this letter of December 12, 1984.
Yes, right here in the letter.
Well, would it be fair to say that what you did is reflected in this letter, or was it?
Yes,
would there be anything more that you'd want to add to this letter in terms of what you did?
Well, from a professional point of view, this is exactly what I did. From a personal point of view, it's simply the amount of work that the men were willing to, the amount of time that they were willing to give, beyond the time allotted to this. It was their own time. Please remember that. That they were very anxious to continue upgrading themselves and...
Okay. Well, without getting into names, how about how many men were involved in this?
Four.
Four, all right. This is... I'm talking about the December 12th, 1984
yes.
letter, which
mm-hmm.
is
Four.
3A, exhibit number 3A. Okay. And did you, how did you listen to the these men's, these employees' voices? You interviewed them, or did you listen to tapes? Or?
I not only interviewed them, I made cassette tapes of them. They made cassette tapes of themselves. We worked on problems in writing, problems in phrasing, problems in sight reading, problems in putting all of this together, and then a final product of performance. That, in a nutshell, is what we were doing.
Would, I'm sorry, are you through?
Many, many, many hours were spent in therapy work utilizing printed materials, helping to combat pigeon, and continuing to monitor their broadcast by telephone, contacting them either on the job or at home, relating to in response to what I had heard on the tape, needs or improvements, as the case would be. Have I left out anything you would like me to elaborate on or included?
Let me ask you, were these all non-Caucasians?
Yes, they were. Of different ethnic backgrounds.
Okay. Now, in giving you this assignment, did the Weather Service give you any kind of specific criteria to follow in training these people?
Other than giving me what the criteria that the job demanded, I don't remember that they did. They may have. I can look it up and see.
Okay. Well, what was it that the job demanded? What did they tell you? What did the Weather Service or Mr. Hagemeyer tell you the job demanded?
Upgrading these communication skills that I have just mentioned.
Okay. And this would have been sight reading, writing, and phrasing.
He may not have used those words, but in upgrading, I'm mentioning the needs that they had after I tested each one of them. And that's a very broad coverage right there, that I have given you those three categories. Because in those categories, you will notice throughout the reports that I have in front of me, the specific areas that we have worked on.
Okay, I think I may have left out one of your criterions. You had mentioned upgrading speech skills generally, and then sight reading, and then upgrading writing. I think I...
Phrasing.
Or phrasing is part of writing?
That's not always. No, phrasing can
speech
be...
Speech also.
Yes, very definitely an oral reading.
Okay. So, would it be fair to say then that this criteria that you were following was pretty much your criteria?
Very definitely my criteria.
And that would be your subjective criteria, is that correct?
Not only subjective, my professional.
Okay. And when you say professional, is that based on your experience and training and background?
It certainly is.
Right, okay. Now, is there any standard that we can go to, let's say an objective standard that we can go to in terms of that would reflect these three items?
I do not know.
Okay.
Any speech text, if you want to go to a textbook, this is not textbook. This is the need of each individual person. And if I were to list a textbook merely because this person has this need, then I could list every textbook written, probably, in the field of speech. But your needs would not be the same as mine or his or hers or his. And so it is structured for the individual.
Okay. Let me ask you, was one of the objectives or the objective of this training that you did back in 1984 to train anybody for a particular job?
The job that they had already, to upgrade their skills in that job.
Okay. No, but...
Wait, 84? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
1984. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, looking at exhibit number 3A, okay, I notice in the fourth paragraph from the on the first page.
I would like to know who's...
Excuse me?
No name is given here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but this is what was provided to us, I believe, by the Weather Service. Mm-hmm. So, but you recognize this report, my understanding?
I certainly recognize the report, yes.
Now, in that fourth paragraph, you notice that you use the word pigeon.
Yes.
Okay, and now, how do you define the word pigeon?
I think probably your linguist can do a better job than I.
Okay, well, unfortunately, she's not being deposed today, so, in fact, she's already been deposed, but what I really am trying to find out is how you define
pigeon,
the word.
Pigeon, of course, is the pigeon that we use right here in our islands.
Okay, but how would you define the word? Could you just give me a definition of the word?
A pigeon, I suppose, is is deletions of, and yet combinations as well, of other than words generally used in standard English.
Okay, again, this would be words. I'm not sure if I caught.
I'm not sure myself, yeah. Because okay. I'm not prepared to define pigeon.
Okay.
Pigeon is a word that here in our islands does not need defining. We know what it is.
Okay. Well, let me ask you. You know, isn't part of correct speech, or doesn't that involve using words that have, you know? That you know the definition of, isn't that an essential part of correct speech? Knowing the definition of the words that you're using.
You are completely right there, Mr. Park, and I would greatly appreciate your giving me a definition for pigeon. Perhaps I can agree or disagree with the definition.
Well. That's not really, you know, the purpose of this, this deposition today. You know, to find out what I know or understand. It's really to find out what you know and understand. Mm-hmm. So, but you would agree with that using words correctly, in terms of their definition, is an essential part of speech.
I think the word is used correctly in the context within this report.
Okay, but how could that be the case if you're not sure of its definition?
Pigeon is an island dialect, which is used as a convenience primarily to help some people who do not understand English and are speaking a tongue other than English or a language other than English to be able to communicate with English-speaking people.
Okay, so is that your definition of the word?
I'm not saying that is my definition. I'm saying that when you have asked me what I consider pigeon to be, I'm saying that it comes as such a surprise to me that question would even be asked, where pigeon is constantly utilized here in place of standard English, in place of what I like to say well thought out sentences. It's a language of convenience because it's a lazy language, so to speak.
When you say lazy language, does that mean that it's something that people would use more out of convenience than
yes.
than as opposed to something that they should more properly use?
That's exactly right. It's a lazy language because It would be so easy to say, well, you know what pidgin is. It's dakine. And that's lazy. Dakine, I doubt very much that Mr. Hearn knows what dakine is, but he'll know by the time he gets here.
Well, are there any pidgin speakers that you know of that can't use anything other than pidgin, except maybe a foreign language? Well, let me revise that. Do you know of anybody who uses pidgin that's not a good question. Let me withdraw that question. Let me ask you. I take it that you've never consulted with any experts on the definition of pidgin. Is that correct?
Dr. Rachel Carr, I wish that I knew. If I could have reached Dr. Carr, I would have. She has been retired for a number of years.
What kind of doctor is she?
She has a PhD.
In what field?
In speech. And she has written a book on pidgin. She has written many articles on pidgin. And she lives right here in the city. But her married name is not Carr. And if I can just find someone who knows her married name, I'll be very happy to furnish it to you.
Okay. Well, are you saying that you've consulted with her as to the proper definition of
pidgin? She was my professor at the university, one of them. And she has a textbook.
When did you consult with her?
When I was a student.
Okay. Is it your opinion that the term pidgin is something that a speech expert would be more qualified to define than somebody else?
No.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Would it be fair to say you've never consulted with any linguists on...
No, I've not consulted with any linguists.
On the definition of pidgin?
No.
Okay. Do you know what the... have you ever heard of the term Hawaiian Creole English?
No, I have not. Okay.
Have you ever heard of the term Hawaiian Standard English?
No, I have not. Okay. I would assume that Hawaiian Standard English is pure Hawaiian.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed in this exhibit number 3A that you're making reference to a term called pidgin traps in the last paragraph on the front page. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, that's my own term. Pidgin is a language that deletes many standard pronunciations. Third, T-H-I-R-D. Is very, very frequently pronounced turd. O-T-H-E-R, the combination of T-H at the beginning of a word, in the middle of a word, are pidgin traps. Now, this is my own term. A pidgin trap, when you see the word turd, that's what you see in your mind, but the word written is T-H-I-R-D. If you are going to know that the word is there in your weather report, let's say, if you can be aware that here is a word that is a real trap for me and I have to work on it, and this is where the exercises and the therapy that I use when I work with pidgin people who speak pidgin is so important. By being able to recognize these traps, so to speak, you're able to prepare yourself mentally for them before you are there and falling into that trap. Udder, O-D-E-R, O-D-D-E-R is a mispronunciation of O-T-H-E-R. And the numbers of traps, so to speak, can be endless. depending on the degree of pigeon that this person is speaking.
Okay. Now, going back again to the these other terms that I've used, I've mentioned this Hawaiian Creole English, and as opposed to, well, I'm not sure if I can say at this point, as opposed to something like pidgin, but wouldn't it be important for somebody doing the kind of work that you do to, assuming that these are valid linguistic terms, to know these terms, be familiar with them, and be conversant with them, and to know the distinctions between them? Wouldn't that be something that would be important for you to know?
I know it from now on, Mr. Parr.
Okay, but you didn't know it when you wrote these reports, is that correct?
I knew that the people reading the reports certainly were familiar with what pidgin is.
And you knew
and
that...
And it did not require a definition.
And you knew that the people reading the reports, that you're talking about the Weather Service people?
Whoever. Here in Honolulu, yes.
Right. That, are you saying that they knew the distinction between pidgin and Creole and standard mainland?
I've never heard of pidgin of Hawaiian Creole, so I've no idea.
Okay. But what I'm asking you is, wouldn't that be something that would be important for you to know if you're teaching speech?
I'm not writing about anything other than pidgin, and I know that they know it.
Okay. Well, if I were to tell you that there's a distinction made among linguists, between pidgin and Creole English.
I'm not a linguist, Mr. Park. That wouldn't matter to me.
That wouldn't matter to you?
No, it would not.
Okay.